Spirit Guide Underground UA for 2008.
Warning, access restricted. Enter password. Begin DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome. Spirit.
Hello and welcome to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground Podcast. I'm Peter France and the creator of Spirit Blade Productions. We're bringing you Christian sci-fi and fantasy that's unsterilized, unsafe, and unleashed on your ears and imagination. You can check out what we're doing and grab lots of cool downloads over at www.spiritblade.net. Okay, let's not waste any time and jump into our updates.
Update information.
All right, the first recording session with our cello player went great, and we'll be finishing up her recording early next week on Monday. I'm mixing the final scene now before the credits of Dark Ritual, I will likely solidify my scoring decisions and make purchases for the music. I said on the weblog next week, I'm only going to be in town Monday and Tuesday next week. I'd still say there's a good possibility. I'm going to be out of town next week, at a family reunion in Montana. So anyway, once I solidify those scoring purchases, then I'll be able to finish scripting the end credits to appropriately include and credit composers. And at that point, Randy Hessen, who does the voice of Vincent, is going to come on in and record the end credits for us so that I don't have to read them again. I hate hearing myself read the credits on Spirit Blade, so I vowed that I was going to have somebody else do it this time around. So the office is going to be closed from July 9th through the 14th while I'm at that family reunion. You'll still be able to purchase downloads, but any physical CDs that you buy won't be shipped out until the 15th when our office opens up again. The last few days have gone extremely well, and I'm even feeling ahead of schedule by maybe a day or two, maybe even as much as three. I really appreciate your guys' continued prayers and all your word-of-mouth support. It's been cool to see a few downloads and CDs get sold as we've been playing Spirit Blade in the podcast. So keep spreading word-of-mouth. Tell people about Spirit Blade. I would really appreciate it, and also your prayer support. I really do believe that that God moves this ministry forward. I call it a ministry, even though we're an LLC. But he moves this project forward. He moves forward what we're doing. I believe in direct response to prayer, so I will greatly appreciate your further dedication to prayer in the future. We've also got a great discussion going on Wednesday's post at the Spirit Blade weblog. That's spiritblade.typepad.com, which is kind of a extension of a comment that I made on a previous podcast, and that one of my listeners got back to me on and shared his thoughts. So we're talking about whether or not pastors should be paid full time. So if you would like to join the discussion there, grab your Bible and jump over to spiritblade.typepad.com. That's it for updates. Let's go ahead and jump into our main feature.
Primary feature.
Movie information.
Activated.
Okay, we are looking at some movie and entertainment news today. This is all from comicstofilm.com, except for one little bit, the Guillermo del Toro interview, which is over Dark Horizons. But anyway, yeah, check out comicstofilm.com, great resource. According to them, members of the Justice League are returning to Season 8 of Smallville this fall. They lifted some quotes from TV Guide to kind of give us a hint of what's coming. Justin Hartley is set to return as Green Arrow for at least 12 episodes. Holy crap. Alan Ritchson, Elena Huffman, and Phil Morris are also on tap to reprise their roles as Aquaman, Black Canary, and Martian Manhunter, respectively. Oh, kill this show. Please, please kill it. I mean, I saw, let's see, I'm trying to think if I saw the, I saw the Flash episode, and I saw just pictures of some of the other, like the Justice League episodes. I gave up on this show a long time ago. If you haven't heard me talk about Smallville before, I'll just let you know I'm not a fan. Too much Gilmore Girls, Dawson's Creek, and not enough freaking Superboy or Superman or something of that variety. Too much stuff, and they're always wanting to sex up Clark and stuff like that. They're just going, it's messed up. All right, so anyway, yeah, I'm not, the Justice League thing is just kind of, that's lukewarm, doesn't really, it just sounds like the show is floundering and they're running out of stuff to do, and it sounds like they should have, you know, ended the show more purposefully last season. In fact, I think Michael Goff and whoever the other guy was that have kind of been there from the beginning, they left, if I'm not mistaken. This is the eighth season, is the first season without them, and Dude has left as Lex Luthor, so anyway... yeah, it just sounds like this thing is, you know, spiraling down the crapper. Reportedly, this season, according to the new showrunner Kelly Souders, I don't know if that's how you pronounce her name, but she says this season is about the Superman identity emerging as Clark Kent tries to maintain a normal life or the appearance of a normal life. There is speculation as to whether or not he will be in the costume by the end. I don't care. No, that's not true. I would be curious to see what's his dude looks like in the Superman costume, but you know, just mildly curious. You know, it, send me a Photoshop. That's I don't really need to see the real thing even. I'm not... All right. Moving on, the Dark Knight star Christian Bale does not look forward to the moment that the movie franchise incorporates a sidekick into the story. Don't worry, there's no rumors at this point that that's going to be true. In fact, Chris Nolan, I believe, in the past has said quite the reverse, that he's never going to incorporate Robin, which I'm very thankful. There's some things that work on the comic book page, but there's just some stories that there's a level of darkness that is hard to maintain unless you're doing... Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns, which I still think, you know, there'd be some weird issues with, you'd have to get into some weird psychological issues to transplant the idea of a minor running around in the night with Batman. There's things that work in comics that are harder to, you know, make happen in the films and still take them seriously. So, anyway, but Christian Bale says, and I quote, "If Robin crops up in one of the new Batman films, I'll be chaining myself up somewhere and refusing to go to work." Way to go, Chris. I think that's the right philosophy. All right. Also, this is something I just found out about. This is cool. This is really cool. If you were a fan of Mystery Science Theater 3000, it's a show that used to be on Sci-Fi Channel and I think also Comedy Central for a while. It's these guys, they sit in front of a screen and they watch old movies and you just see their little silhouettes at the bottom as if they're sitting in a movie theater, a darkened movie theater, and they just rip into the movie, make fun of it the whole time. They make fun of these really old movies and stuff like that. That's Mystery Science Theater 3000. These guys have come back together again, not to revive the show, but they've got a website called RiffTrax.com that you've got to check out. RiffTrax.com. Mike Nelson and the gang, the MST3K gang, are doing their thing with new movies. Movies they never could have touched before. They're doing 300. Not as new, Batman and Robin, but certainly worthy of a riff track. Lord of the Rings, they've got the first two parts right now. Predator, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Spider-Man 3, Star Wars Episodes 1, 2, and I think I saw 3 as well. Matrix, The Matrix Reloaded. Holy crap. So the question is, how are they getting away with this without violating copyright law? Well, the trick is they're not selling you the DVD. They're just selling you the commentary track. Oh, and this kind of ticks me off because I even thought about this idea a while back. I was like, oh, that would be cool. Although I was thinking not, you know, because I'm not very funny. So I was thinking more along the lines of I would love to record a philosophical, theological audio track to go along with the Matrix trilogy. And I thought, oh, you know, I could avoid the whole copyright thing by just... talking about it and timing it as I'm watching it, but not have any of the audio material actually in my recording. So I'm sure that's how they're able to get away with it. So basically, you buy it's like $2.99 a pop. you buy commentaries on these movies, and then you sync them up, or there's also some software online on their website, and I didn't check to see yet if it was free or not. I would guess if they're smart, it's free. But they've got some software online that will sync up your DVD of the movie with their audio commentary. So if you've got the DVD and you want to listen to MST3K guys rip into it, then you buy their thing for $2.99, you pop in your DVD, you sit back at your computer, and you enjoy the MST3K experience without the silhouettes, you know, at the bottom. I don't think that's part of the package. But oh my gosh, I am about to wet my pants. I'm so excited. That's pretty much all of my fun money now has been dedicated for the next 3 months, unless they suck, because I do have to say that, like, the show was hit or miss with me. The ones that were funny were, like, really funny, pee my pants funny. I mean, it was, like, really great. And there'd be some that were just, like, duds, and I'd be like, after an hour and a half, oh, I can't believe I just, you know, wasted an hour and a half of my life that I can never get back. But for the movies that I really love, like, I will, like, The Matrix is going to be the first one I grab. Oh my gosh. So anyway, I would highly recommend checking that out, rifftracks.com. And then lastly, I won't give any spoilers on it because the nature of the thing is that you read it, but there's a great interview with Guillermo del Toro, the director of Pan's Labyrinth, Hellboy, and the upcoming Hellboy 2, and also he's going to be directing the two-part Hobbit series that New Line has optioned him or whatever. I don't know what the technical term is, but he's going to be directing the next two Lord of the Rings movies, but it's going to be The Hobbit split in half. There's a cool interview where he talks about the upcoming Hellboy movie and some about the Hobbit movie as well. And I just love, you know, hearing about his philosophy about movie making, because he uses lots of live action, like puppets, and he's got kind of a Jim Henson philosophy of using creature shop effects instead of lots of digital crap. He wanted the movie, he talked about Hellboy 2, wanting it to be really feel lived in and handmade. And every time I see a trailer for it, I'm like, oh, I cannot wait to see this movie, because, you know, you look at those creatures and they are on the set. You know, 10 years from now, when Jumper or some other, you know, kind of CGI type movie, or I'm trying to think of a creature feature that's lots of CGI. But just think of the last creature feature you watched in theaters. It's all like this CGI stuff. And you know what? 10, 20 years from now, people are going to look at those movies, and the directors are going to have to go back and make remakes of those movies with new digital effects to get them up to date. But Guillermo del Toro is not going to have to remake a lot of, you know, most of his movies, because he doesn't rely so heavily on CGI. The creatures are right there, they're on the set, they're with the actors, and you just can't fake that. It's going to look real until we're done watching movies. So I'm a big fan, I'm becoming a big fan of Del Toro's more recent movies, you know, Pan's Labyrinth, of course. I did go back and watch some of his earlier stuff, but he really gets into the swing of things, I think, around Hellboy and definitely Pan's Labyrinth. What a beautiful movie. So anyway, if you're interested at all in Hellboy or the upcoming Hobbit movies, go over to Dark Horizon Horizons.com and check out that interview with Del Toro.
Every word of God proves true. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.
Okay, today we're searching for truth in the book of Acts, chapter 16. The first five verses of this chapter deal with Paul and Silas revisiting some of the towns that Paul had preached in before. Along the way, they met a young man, possibly in his teens at this time, named Timothy, who would become an important and long-lasting friend to Paul, so keep your eye on him as we move forward. Paul was obviously impressed with him, as was the surrounding community, but since Paul knew that they would likely encounter some of those legalistic Jews we've mentioned before, Paul had Timothy circumcised, presumably so that Timothy would not lose credibility with the Jews they were trying to communicate the truth to. So a big hat off to Timothy. When's the last time, in an effort to be culturally sensitive to others, you were circumcised as an adult or a teenager? Holy cow. Wow, my hat's off to you, sir. The trio continues on delivering the Jerusalem Council's response to legalism to the nearby churches that Paul had been to before. You know, it's a cool and edgy idea today to rebel against systems of authority. The word accountability makes us feel confined or judged. And while no leadership on Earth is perfect, and human leaders should not expect to avoid questioning, we also see here that as a result of these churches' accountability to the council in Jerusalem, they were, quote, strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. That's verse 5. There's certainly nothing wrong with testing the words of our leaders. I want to say that loud and clear. But we don't want to be the other extreme and just kind of automatically rule them out and rebel so much against authority figures and authority structure that we lose the wisdom, we lose the impact that the wisdom of others can have on our lives. Something interesting happens in verses 6 through 8. Paul and Silas chose the area of Phrygia and Galatia not because God clearly said, go there, but because he told them where not to go. The rest was educated and prayerful guessing, is what it essentially amounts to. They saw Mysia coming up and knew it was technically part of Asia Minor, which they were supposed to avoid, if you look at the verses here. So they veered away to Bithynia in the north, but Jesus didn't want them there either. So at times, these great men that are in line with God's will were just confused wanderers having no idea what was coming next, but trusting that they were in the will of God because they kept their eyes on the mission God had given them. Create disciples, which means a learner. So create learners who will create learners who will create learners. That's the Great Commission, is to create disciples. That's what Jesus, one of the last things he said to his disciples was to go out and make disciples, make people that are going to learn from me and learn about me and walk with me and follow me. Very often we don't get the specific direction from God that we would like. I know that's certainly true in my life. You know, we ask ourselves the questions, should I quit this job, sell this house, start this ministry? And there are principles in Scripture that can guide us, you know, in terms of how we handle finances and things like that. But apart from that, if we're looking for something more specific, it's, you know, we're kind of in the dark. God doesn't often give us very clear instruction. We may try things out that we believe are in the will of God only to see them fall apart. Well, as I look at this, I believe that we can take, as I look at this chapter, I believe we can take comfort in knowing that, you know what, this happened to Paul, too. And while it may seem less than productive to us, these aren't detours from God's plan. They might be detours from our plan or what we think is God's plan, but they're not detours from God's plan. Paul used what knowledge he had available to make wise decisions. And that knowledge, of course, included his knowledge of God, his knowledge of Scripture, and what Scripture tells him about right and wrong. So he used that knowledge to make wise decisions, and he made serving God and serving others his number one priority. He did hit some U-turns, and you know what? We will too. I've hit a bunch in my life, but this is a simple formula that I think anyone can use to honor God. Later, Paul forces a fortune-telling demon out of a slave girl who had been making money for her owners with her demonic ability. Although, this is interesting, although the demon spoke the truth regarding Paul's identity and purpose, look at those verses, it was likely a distraction that made it difficult for Paul and the others to build relationships with those they met. And if you think about it, Timothy was circumcised. They're trying to fit into the cultures that they meet with, you know. And here, this lady comes out and she's identifying them as servants of Christ and, you know, making just a big production. And they're wanting to just kind of settle in and get along with people and not make a big hubbub, at least not at first. So this probably led to Paul's frustration, followed by the exorcism. Having lost a good source of income, the slave owners slandered Paul and his company and had them beaten and thrown in jail. This is where things kind of take an interesting turn. In the middle of the night, an earthquake rocks the prison, all the cells bust open and manacles break free, and the lone guard wakes up, sees the damage, and of course assumes the worst, that he fell asleep on the job and the prisoners have escaped. Assuming his life would effectively be over anyway now for neglecting his duties, he prepares to kill himself. Now, amazingly, Paul and friends haven't left the prison and quickly tell the guard, don't kill yourself. This must have spoken volumes to the guard. I mean, how could they, from his perspective, how could they not have taken advantage of this kind of crazy, impossible opportunity to escape, right? The guard seemed to recognize that these men had something about them that he needed to have too. It was so remarkable. He seemed to be drawn to it. Before the night was done, the guard and his family had become believers in Christ. Now, for the twist at the end of this tale. When the authorities release Paul and his buddies in the morning, they find out that they are all citizens of Rome, Paul and his buddies. Beating a Roman citizen without trial is illegal. You can verify this by jumping ahead to Acts 22:25. Paul knew this. He and his friends had a get-out-of-jail-free card that they could have used at any time. But they could have done it before the first lash hit their backs, before the stocks were put on their feet, or any time overnight in the prison. They could have said, oh yeah, we just remembered this law, you know, we happen to be Roman citizens, so, you know, get us out of here. But somewhere in this, Paul and his partners saw an opportunity to share the truth in a powerful way. And so they didn't cling to their rights, they didn't cling to what they felt entitled to. Wow, that speaks volumes to our culture today. And they willingly accepted the suffering they knew would come. Wow, that blows me away. When I am someone that wants to cling to the things that I feel entitled to, wants to cling to the things I perceive as my rights. What an amazing example here. Next time, next week, we will be searching for truth in Spirit Blade Chapter 3, and then we'll be back to take a look at Acts Chapter 17. Meantime, the coffeehouse question, what detours in your life can you think of that God took you through before establishing you in something after that? Are you? Second question kind of goes along with it, are you experiencing a detour now? And sometimes that's kind of hard to tell, but maybe you feel like you are. I can tell you from personal experience, I've been on a roller coaster ride in terms of what I thought God wanted me to do with my life. And as I look back, now I don't have time to share it all now, maybe I'll share it sometime in the future, but as I look back now at all the different kind of course corrections and path changes and stuff like that, almost each time, I thought, this is what God wants me to do for the rest of my life. This is what God wants. I'd be there for a couple years, maybe even, and then something else, God would very clearly change my direction. And it's just a wild thing. So, but I've seen how God has used that. I've seen how God has equipped me, has given me experiences that help me in what I'm doing today for this podcast, for Spirit Blade Productions. So what I'd like to hear from you is, what detours in your life can you think of that God took you through before he established you in something else? And do you think maybe you're experiencing a detour now? There you have it. Okay, that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to jump into another chapter of Spirit Blade. And actually, I'm going to be launching that early. In fact, I should take off my watch now. That's how I help myself remember things. But I'll be launching that podcast early, since I'll be out of town when I normally would launch it on Friday. So you can look for the next chapter of Spirit Blade as early as, I would say, Tuesday. If for some reason it's not there, it's because I've exceeded my limit on Libsyn, and I'll have to wait till I get back. So it'll either be up on Tuesday or the following Tuesday. So hopefully sooner rather than later, right? Anyway, that's it. Thank you again so much for listening. I hope you join us next time for that next chapter of Spirit Blade. And in the meantime, I hope you all spend some time seeking the truth.
Visit www.spiritblade.net. Your factor is awesome. Blader is a crazy freak.